God bless.
You know, something about Char's grandkids, they do get their honesty from Don. Don kind of tells it like it is. But they get their beauty from Char and Dana, so. You guys are so quiet. Somebody say amen to something here. I thought at least I could get a hold of you on that one. Today, I want to talk to you. Let me set this up by saying, yesterday I spoke at another place. They have a Sabbath service. I have a friend, how many of you remember Robin Hardman? Yeah, some of you get related to Don and Char. Again, with the beauty thing, I don't know where they get it. It's obviously not an Eldridge thing. So, amen? Okay. Anyway, Robin has, there's a place that Robin goes to. She had invited me to come. And so I developed a couple friends there, and they asked me if I would be willing to speak sometime. And so I said, okay. So I went out to dinner with the guy. And you were sitting there at dinner, and he goes, so when do you think that you could teach? I said, well, let me first give you what I want to tell you about, because I think that would be, as a leader in my own church, I think it would be only responsible if somebody wanted to speak in our church that we kind of know the direction that they're going, right? I think that would be the best thing. So I said, let me have dinner with you, and we'll talk about where I want to go with this. And he's like, okay. So he goes, so now when do you want to speak? And I said, well, not now. I want to go like a month from now, like way out. So there was a date in August that was open for me. And I said, how about let's do this? And he goes, okay. So we're getting ready to leave. And we're in Fort Wayne. He's across the street. And I'm getting in my Jeep. And he goes, hey. He goes, Mike sent me a text. He wants to know if you can just do next weekend. I said, okay. So I prepared this message for yesterday. Then I get a text from Max this week, and he says, hey, you know, Fun Fest is coming up. I'm in my 60s. I can't take the heat so well. I might not be able to preach. Can you do the message? I said, or something like that. It was kind of like that. He said, I'm an old man and I can't do this anymore. No, I'm just kidding. But he said, can you do the message? And I said, sure. I'm going to do the message that I did yesterday. That's what I'm going to do. So this is the message I did yesterday. We talked about some things that are happening, I believe, that are happening prophetically. The Bible talks about how one day that the Lord will be separating the wheat from the chaff. Do you know that story? The harvest from the weeds? Yeah. How many of you have ever seen wheat and chaff next to each other? Yeah. When they're in their younger stages, don't they look an awful lot alike? And then when they grow up, what happens? Yeah, they develop and they change. So you can begin to see what wheat really, which one the wheat really is, and you can begin to see which one the weeds really are. And if you look in today's society, I think that you can look out, and the people that have claimed to be Christian over and over throughout the years, some of them were starting to see, oh, you know, they're taking this way over here, and it's not the way of the Bible, it's not the way of the Word, and we're beginning to see the fruits of what they truly believe. It's not hard to look at that. And I think the Lord right now is revealing to his people the difference between the harvest and the weeds, the difference between the wheat and the chaff. But the harvest has a look. The harvest has an appearance. And I wore these things again as a symbolic thing of what I want to show you as to what the harvest looks like. But the harvest is a very spiritual thing, so I'm not saying that you got to walk around wearing these, but I want to show you what the harvest looks like by showing you what this is all about. These are called tzitzit. Can you say tzitzit?
Tzitzit.
Yeah, very cool. It really just is like a very cool Hebrew word for tassel. Like, Jason, you're wearing tassels, really? Like, girls put tassels on their bikes and all that stuff, and you're wearing tassels, really? What's that about? Way back in the Old Testament, in Numbers 15 and in Deuteronomy, the Lord commanded his people to put tassels on the corners of their garments. And he commanded them to wind this blue thread through these tassels. And these tassels were to remind them of the commands of the Lord. So the first thing that I think that the harvest will look like is the harvest will be walking in his commands. They will be walking in his ways, right? And we don't steer from those things. So I want to talk to you a little bit about his commands. And I want to first talk to you about this sacrifice. How many of you know they did sacrifices back then? They did offerings and sacrifices. Do you know what they were for? Essentially, say what? They were essentially to say, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. Thank you, Lord, because how many of you know that we don't deserve the blessings that we get each and every day of our life? How many of you know that we deserve probably a whole lot worse than what we're getting right now? And when bad times hit us, we probably deserve a whole lot worse. When the valleys come upon us, we probably deserve a whole lot worse. Yet he leads us through the valleys. So they were giving offerings and sacrifices to say, thank you, Lord, in view of your mercies. Thank you for all that you are doing. We're going to give you, in fact, we're going to walk by faith, and we're going to give you the top of our harvest, the very first of our harvest, because we know that throughout the rest of the year, you're going to bless us in abundance. Did you know that they were commanded for a full year, every seventh year, to not do any type of work in their fields and stuff? How many of you would like to not do any work for a year and still get paid? That's what I'm talking about. There's a sign-up sheet somewhere. We got to find it. Yeah. But they were commanded. They were commanded by the Lord to take this seventh year as a Sabbath, as a rest, not to do any work. And he promised them that he would provide for them. That's pretty crazy. That's stepping out in faith, right? That's walking in faith. So these sacrifices were to say thank you. They were to say, we believe in you. We know what you're doing for us. We know what you're going to do for us. And that's what we're going to walk in. We're going to walk in that faith. We think that the sacrifices and all that kind of thing has ended with Jesus. And I want to say that I'm not sure that it has ended with Jesus. In fact, it's changed. It's morphed. It's become something different with Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus, on the week leading up to his death, that week of Passover, he went into the temple, and do you remember what he did? He got real angry, right? And what did he do? Do you remember? He threw out the money changers, exactly. And he cleansed them out. He ran the cattle and all the livestock, all that stuff he ran out. And it was an idea of cleansing the house, because the Jews were commanded to cleanse their house the week of Passover, get rid of all leaven, which at that time equated to sin. All the old leaven equated to the bad. So you got to get rid of the bad. So he went in and cleansed the house. And they say to him, what authority do you have? Now understand this. You have the authority to clean your own house. But you walk into the temple and you start cleaning the temple, somebody's going to ask questions. And they're going to go, hey, what authority do you have to clean this house like that? And he says, destroy this temple, and I will rebuild it in 3 days. And they're going, fool, this thing took 46 years to build. I don't know where you think you're from, but you're going to rebuild it in 3 days? I don't think so. And Jesus said to them, destroy this temple, and I will rebuild it in 3 days. His disciples knew exactly what he was talking about, because he was talking about his body. So now who is the temple? Jesus. Isn't that what the Bible verse says? That Jesus is the temple? Okay, so we're still commanded to do these sacrifices. What is that going to look like? In Matthew 16, Jesus says this, and he's talking about the cost of discipleship. He says, if you are going to follow me, anyone who wants to follow me, anyone who wishes to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. How many of you want to carry a cross around all the time? Right? Hey, watch this. How many of you want to carry this cross around? Anybody? I wish my cross were that light. But I'm telling you what, my burdens throughout my week, my burdens throughout the days of my life, they seem so much greater than that foam cross right there. They seem so much heavier than that foam cross. And yet, Jesus is commanding us to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him. What does that mean? What does that mean? In the later books of the New Testament, we hear that if anyone is in Christ, he's what? A new creation. So the old is gone. The old is the thing that's put on the cross. The old is the thing that I got to die to each and every day of my life. How many of you know that salvation is not a one-time deal? Each and every day we need saved. Each and every day we need redeemed. Because guess what? There's an enemy. And the enemy is always after us. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But we need redeemed. I want to be redeemed. And so I got to put my ways, my old ways, my selfish ways, I got to put that stuff right there on the cross. And that's what he means when he says, carry your cross and follow me. Because each and every step of the way, each and every day of my life, I'm going to have to die to myself. Paul said it like this in Romans 12. He says, therefore, I urge you, in view of all of God's mercies. So in view of everything he did, what did we say a sacrifice was for? Thanks. In view of everything that you have done for us, in view of all of God's mercies, I urge you, I beseech you, I exhort you to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to the Lord. Now, most translations say this is your spiritual act of worship. Some say this is the right way of worship. This is the logical way of worship. I have this one version that says this is your logical temple worship. So sacrifices and offerings were made at the temple. And the Jews have said, well, we can't do that anymore because the temple's been destroyed. And there are Christians who follow that pathway. And I'm going, no. Who's the temple? Tell me, who's the temple? So who's the sacrifice? Us. We got to make ourselves the sacrifice. And that is walking in his commands. We got to give ourselves up to him. So if we're going to do that, that means we're going to also have to live by the Spirit. That's the second point. The harvest will be a people that live by the Spirit. So another thing, let's go back to the tzitzit. Another thing that the tzitzit represents is a covenant that is found in Jeremiah 31, and it starts with verse 31, and it says this, that I will make a covenant with the house of Israel. It's a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, declares the Lord. Yeah, it won't be like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my law within them. Where?
Within them.
I will put my law within them and on their heart, and I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Do you know that Jesus is the living word? Do you get that? You know, we took communion last week, and the idea of this whole new covenant, remember Max told you that Jesus is the cup of the new covenant. He's the vessel for the new covenant. In John chapter 6, it says that Jesus, if unless you drink of my blood and eat of my flesh. So those things represent the Torah. Those things represent the law, the new covenant that is supposed to be living and breathing within us. So these tassels represent that new covenant that you are a part of. Did you know that you're a part of that new covenant? That if you would take upon Jesus, you would have that new covenant within you. I think we get that idea here in our heads, but I'm not sure we get that in our hearts. I'm not sure we walk in those ways. I'm not sure that we understand it. That thing is, that word is living and breathing inside of us. Because if we would come up on, you know, name something that you come up on every day of the week. Maybe, say what? What, something bad. What else? Somebody else give me something. Sin. Yeah, trials. What kind of trials? Yeah, like something specific.
Road rage.
Crossing a bridge at 4 o'clock on Dahmersville Road. Dealing with a bridge out on Clinton Street. Having to get to the other side of town, right? Yeah. How about, let's see, how about people in your workplace? Wait a minute. I see people in my workplace and Max goes, yeah. Time out. I think it was a burn. Yeah, health issues. How about health issues? Finances. Relationships. Yeah. How about all of those things? How about if we would understand that we had the living word that's moving through us, going through us, that we're not just our own vessel, but we're a vessel for the Lord. What would happen when we come up upon those things? What would happen when we come up upon road rage? We got to sit for about 10 minutes in one spot on Dahmersville Road. Yeah. What would happen if we come upon that when we're dealing with finances? When we're going through that valley? What would happen when we come up upon relationships? That's a big one. What would happen if we would realize, man, we got the living word breathing, active in us? I think we might look at things a whole lot different, wouldn't we? I think we might approach them a whole lot differently. So we've got the living word living and breathing in us. And how do you think that that happens? I'm sorry? With God's help. So we have who living in us? We have the Holy Spirit, don't we? We have the Holy Spirit living in us. What was that blue strand again? It was interwoven in that tassel to remind the people of his commands. But it was also interwoven to remind them of a covenant that we have. We've got a covenant with the Lord. And that covenant's not a covenant that he's willing to break. He's not in for that. How many of you watch crime shows? Yeah, love crime shows. Name your favorite crime show.
NCIS.
What else? Law and Order. Who else? Cruel Intent.
Criminal.
Intent. I've never heard of that one.
SVU.
Oh, that's a Law and Order thing, isn't it?
It's gone 20 years.
Okay. Anybody else? What else? What else?
SWAT.
Criminal Minds.
You blew my next thing out of the water there, Don. Yosemite Sam. Did you hear that? Okay. Minus Yosemite Sam. How many of you realize, you watched the part where they got to interview the people or they got to interrogate the people, right? And the slight chance that they might be guilty, they get asked a question that they don't like or that they don't want to answer. What's the famous answer? I want my lawyer. I need my legal advisor. I need my counselor. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is your counselor?
Amen.
Did you know that the original Greek word for counselor literally meant legal advisor? You know what that means? That means you're being watched. Oh, man. And that means you're about to be on trial, too. One day you're going to be on trial. But you're being watched. The Bible says that the devil prowls around like a lion, not like the Lion of Judah, not like the Most High Lion. We're talking this like Scar, like, you know, you got Lion Kings out now, so you got Mufasa. It's like Jesus right there, Mufasa. But then you got Scar. Scar's like the evil puny wannabe king, right? You got the Scar roaming around, and he seeks to steal. He seeks to, what else? And then what else? And so he's always looking after you. He's waiting for you. And he's waiting for you to walk into the darkness so that he can snatch you up. He's waiting to trip you up. That's why King David said, he prayed in Psalm 140, I think it is, in Psalm 141, he kept saying, Lord, let the enemy fall in their own traps. Let Scar fall in his own trap, right? Let the stupid hyenas fall in their own trap. But let me escape. And that's what we want. We have a legal counselor that teaches us those ways in which we can stay in the light. Psalm 23, we're going to go back to that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because what? He is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. So even though I'm going through the valley, I got his Holy Spirit. I've got his Spirit breathing on me, and he is leading me. He's guiding me. He's going, Ed, don't do that. Don't go over there. It ain't going to be good. Don't go over there. Or maybe you ought to do that over here. This aligns with God's word over here. Don't say that. Don't say that thing. How many of you have opened mouth, insert foot? Yeah. Right? But the Spirit is saying, don't say that. So we got to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to act sometimes, because we need that guidance. And we have that in the Holy Spirit. That is the one thing that we can count on. Did you know that life starts with the Spirit? We dismiss the Holy Spirit sometimes, I think. But did you know that life starts with the Spirit? How many of you can quote Genesis 1:1? Go ahead. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was void, right, without form. Darkness hovered over the face of the earth. And then what does it say? Who hovered over the face of the waters? The Spirit. The Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. And then God said this four words. Let there be light. Does anybody know what that light is? It's Jesus. It's the true sun. It's the real sun. Let there be light. Because we know it can't be the sun and the moon. He created those later on. But I believe what happened is the Spirit was hovering over the waters. The Spirit, by the way, is the breath of God, was hovering over the waters. And when God said, let there be light, I believe the Spirit just went, and it just covered the whole earth. And I believe that is when things begin to come into motion. I believe that wholeheartedly. Who do you think that Adam and Eve were walking with in the garden? Spirit? Who else? I mean, they were in his physical presence. It couldn't be the Father. The Word says that no one has ever seen the Father. No one. The Spirit? It's Jesus. It's the Messiah. Remember, God said, let there be light. And you guys said, who was the light? The Son. You guys said the Son was. If he's the one that gave life to everything, who was Adam and Eve walking in the garden with? Jesus. Whoa. And every day since then, God has been trying to restore us back to walking with who? Jesus. Yes. You know, have you ever pondered what Adam and Eve might have looked like? I mean, I know Jen asks the question all the time, you know, did they have a belly button? That kind of thing. By the way, Max, did you ever come up with the answer?
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe they did. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. I think that, do you remember Moses when he went up to the mountain and he was in the presence of the Lord? Do you remember what happened when he come down the mountain? He glowed. Man, he had to put a veil over him because he glowed so much. Now, he wasn't in the presence of the Lord for a long, 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 long time, not like Adam and Eve were. Can you imagine literally walking in the presence of the Lord? What kind of glow they must have had. What kind of glow? I imagine they looked at each other and it was light. It was just light. Like you couldn't see anything else but light. And then when sin came in, when Adam and Eve sinned, and that light went away, what did they see? They saw nakedness. They saw themselves as they really truly are without the Lord. What a shameful thing, isn't it? Man, I don't want to look at this naked, right? But man, if I have the light, if I have the light of the Lord, and I'm walking in the light of the Lord, do you know how attractive that is? Do you know how in the midst of darkness, light is attractive? Do you know how attractive light is in the midst of darkness? And if the Lord is separating the harvest from the chaff, and it's going to get dark, right? What do you think that harvest is going to look like? It's going to be a light, isn't it? And that's what we need to be. We need to be that light. And the final thing that we need to do is we need to stand in his authority. You know that you, because of Jesus, because of his authority, that you too have authority? Do you know that? I think that people are afraid of that. I think people don't understand the concept of that. I think people don't get the idea that we have authority over some things. We have authority over the enemy because the enemy is under Christ's footstool and Jesus gave us that authority. Do you know that? I need an amen on that one.
Amen.
Because if we understand that we have that authority, again, let's go back to road rage. What's going to happen when we have that authority, we come up on road rage, sitting 10 minutes again at Dahmersville Road? What's going to happen? What's going to happen when we have a sickness or a disease that comes upon us and we can stand in that authority? What's going to happen? What's going to happen when we come up upon relationships and we stand in the authority of Jesus? Restoration. Well, we would hope. What's going to happen when we begin to stand in the authority that Jesus has given us? Because I believe that he has given us authority, and I'm not sure that we're using it. I think we're just sitting here and we're waiting and wondering, what's going to happen? What's the deal? And he's waiting for us to say, it's time. We need to stand up. It's time. We need to command these things into place, into being. We need to command these things that are positive. We have so much opportunity to command things negative into our lives, and we do it so well. I think it's so subconscious. We do the negative thing, and we walk around with the weight of it. But if we can command the negative, why can't we command the positive?
Yeah.
If we can command the bad to come into our life, why can't we command the good to come into our life? Why can't we do that? Yeah? Well, I think we need to stand in that authority. So here's the final teaching about this tzitzit. Some of you fair-skinned people who don't get the suntan like Fabio people in here, look at your arm for a minute. Somebody tell me what color your veins are. Blue. That blue strand that runs through the tassel, I think it should remind you of the blood of Jesus. Because you got the blood of Jesus running through you. I think you've got to remember that you have the living word inside of you. You walk in his commands. You get to live by his spirit. You get to stand in his authority. How many of you remember the story of Samson and Delilah? Yeah. So we get this idea about Samson. What's your name? Yeah. Say it again. Okay. So will you stand up for a second? I don't mean to call you. No. Listen, we get the idea that Samson was this big buff guy like him, right? I mean, look at his arms. Dude's got arms. Yeah. But because Samson was a strong man, right? You can sit back down, man. Thank you. We get the idea that Samson looked like that, big. And then long, beautiful hair. But yeah, like Jimmy. What are you feeding him, Lynette? So Delilah, is persuaded, I think, and then the third time, she ends up cutting his hair at night while he's sleeping. And what happens to him? Yeah. So did you know that the Hebrew word for a lock of hair, and I'm going to make you guess, what the Hebrew word for a lock of hair is. And I'll give you one big hint. tzitzit. You realize that? And what happened when his hair was cut? He lost his strength. So I got these clips on, so give me a second. What would happen if I am cut off? Excuse me. It doesn't want to come off. There we go. What would happen if I get cut off from his commands? Right? What would happen? Excuse me again. What would happen if I get cut off from his spirit? Right? What would happen? Somebody tell me.
Lose your strength.
I'm not even going to do the last two. What would happen if I get cut off from his authority? What would happen if I get cut off from the blood of Jesus? Oh, man. I'd lose my strength. That's the teaching of Samson and Delilah. Is that when we're cut off from the Lord, we lose those that very valuable strength that we get to walk in otherwise. If we have the Lord with us, if we have his spirit, if we have his commands, if we have the blood of Jesus, if we have his authority, we get to walk in those ways with strength. And you can look as puny as me and have that strength. And you can look as strong as this guy and have that strength. Because you have the Lord. And that's what I want. Is that what you want?
Amen.
So I want to encourage you this. I want to make this challenge for you. I want to ask you, how can you be built up in that strength? So in your own walk, yes, by turning to the Lord. How in your own walk? You don't have to answer. I don't need an answer. But I want you to think about this as you go out. How can I build up my strength? That strength that Samson had. That strength that I need to have. How can I build up how can I work out? Like spiritually work out. I don't like to work out. You could probably tell. I don't like to work out. I'm not into exercise. But I am into spiritual exercise. So how can you spiritually exercise? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you've given us ways to build up that strength. That you've given us the strength itself because of your spirit. You've given us the strength because of your word, which is living and active and breathing inside of us. I thank you that you've called us into that strength because of the blood of Jesus. And I thank you that we can walk in that authority. And Father, I pray that as we leave here, I pray that you would dwell upon each person, Father, in this room. And I pray that you would challenge them into walking in your ways. Challenge them into walking into your strength and to be that light that you've called them to be. I thank you so much that you've put this message on my heart, because I know that it was mostly for me and these guys were spectators. And I thank you that you've given that revelation. I pray that revelation would seep into my heart. I pray that revelation would seep into the hearts of the people in this room, and that we could walk out in your ways and your authority. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.